before us. There are two headships that we looked at. He's head over creation. But he's also head over all things to the assembly. Then secondly, and I'm thinking of this really in the way of interpretation of these verses. Some of us were talking a while ago. Before we ever get application, we need desperately to have interpretation. So we find again that sin has affected not only mankind, not only you and I have been affected by sin, but the universe that we live has been affected by sin. And Emil touched on it just a moment ago, but I want to just give a little more on it, that those things that were reconciled unto himself. What a wonderful thought, that I'm not brought in, but I want you to stay at a distance. No, there is a relationship. If you're not saved here today, we want you to realize that coming to know the Lord Jesus is coming to know a blessed person. It is not just a simple of truths of doctrine. It is coming to know this person as my own Lord and Savior. But you know, in the world that has been affected, reconciliation is going to take place. This world, this desert is going to bloom with blossoms in a day to come. The Lord Jesus is the one that is coming back, and he's going to set everything right here. Emil has presented to us that it is things in the heavens and things on earth that are reconciled. What about the fallen angels? What about those that have left their first estate? What about Satan and all of his emissaries? We want you to know something. For them and for mankind that leaves this world without Christ, there will never, ever be reconciliation. There will be those that will be forced to bow to the authority and to the blessedness of this one, and then in a day to come, confined to the lake or consigned to the lake of fire. But here is the reconciliation. The Lord Jesus bringing you and I back to himself. Now I want to give just a little thought on unblameable, unreprovable, and unreproachable. That is his ideal. We will be presented that way in a day to come. But there were some wrinkles with the Colossians that were not there with the Ephesians. You don't read of these verses when Paul addresses the Ephesians. So what's the difference between the two books? I think this is a good time to set before us that in the book of Ephesians, we're seen, you and I, as in Christ, and we're already in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? We're seen as in Christ in the heavenlies. Not so in Colossians. In Colossians, Christ is seen in us, and we are still on the earth to bring forth fruit unto God. And this is what he wants out of us while we're here, that in view of the place that we're going to be brought into, there would be a response. And that's what this reading is about. This is about a response to Christ, that now in this world, we would also be holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in our conduct here. Now, as Emil has said, there are four groups of men that we're going to run into here in a few moments that greatly wanted to influence the Colossian believers. We had yesterday. They wanted to tell you, you need something beside Christ. What have we learned this morning? We need nothing. We need nothing. We are complete in him. These folks are dressed nice. They carry a Bible. They can speak well. They're educated. They know the philosophies of this world. And they have all things that subtly. How many times have you ever known the enemy to come in by the front door? How many times have you ever heard him knock on the door and say, well, I'm the enemy and I'm here to deceive you today? He doesn't do that. He doesn't work that way. So we have set before us the glory of Christ, the work of Christ, what he's doing, and then we get a bit of a warning. You won't find a verse like verse 23 in Ephesians. There's two kinds of if in Scripture. Sometimes there is the if of doubt. Sometimes there is the if of argument. When you have the if of argument, it's the same as saying since. Since these things are so. But here, there was a bit of a problem with some of these saints. What marks reality in a believer? Going on with Christ. Walking with him. Holding forth his word. Fellowship with the Spirit of God and with the Lord Jesus. This is what marks that. And so, in this epistle, we have this little word here that is to prick the conscience of those perhaps that were there that were waffling, were not sure where they were. Others perhaps can give us a little help on this word, if ye continue in the faith. Grounded and settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, whereof under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
How are we doing so far? Are we taking it in? I told you, remember, I told you it's a great ocean. I don't want you to feel like...
Are you okay? Are you awake? All right, good. So, Brother Chuck, do you mind if you just go back for 1 second and tell us again the difference between us in Ephesians and us in Colossians? Because I saw some were taking notes, but we... Would you repeat it one more time? We're going to slow down a little bit, guys. So please take notes, and we're just going to slow down. So what we're doing is we're kind of running ahead, and then we're going to stop a little bit and slow down. I want you to digest what's being said. So please pay attention. It's a great ocean. So just that point, Chuck, if you don't mind.
Yes, the book of Ephesians shows you and I in Christ, seated in heaven already. What a wonderful place. We're in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And he didn't work a long time when that book opened up to get there. It's right at the beginning of chapter 1. That the saints there were going on with Christ at this point. We know they also fell off at a later time. But they were going on, so they're seen as seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Colossians, it is not that way. But Christ is in us. Ephesians, we're in him, seated in the heavenlies. In Colossians, Christ is in us, and we are here on this earth to show forth his glory, his love, to walk here in obedience, to bring glory and honor to his name. So does that help, Emil?
Thank you. And we're just going to pause just for a little second, to kind of like just get our thoughts back again together. I know these verses are very, very rich, and there are many teaching that have come out. So just for a second, look at these verses again and think of what was said. Okay? Just because we're going to move on, but I want you to grasp what was said. The fact that we were enemies, what does that mean? The fact that reconciliation, what does that mean? The fact that we are now still here on earth, we are in Christ, what does that mean? Just look at these verses for 1 second. We're going to slow down a little bit. I want you to grasp it as much as you can. Then other brothers are going to help along.